John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Good morning. When you found my name on the October schedule, many of you might be thinking, who is Mr. Osamu Ando, the worship preacher for the 11th? As Pastor Hong introduced me, many of our teachers would be going to Korea for Koinonia. So Pastor Hong asked me to lead our worship service, and I was so happy. But by Corona disease, this year we don't do Koinonia, and any teacher doesn't go to Korea, and I ask this week's schedule. But I heard that no changes to the schedule, and I'm standing here as planned. I've known dozens of people for some time. That's because I had joined in a trip to Israel tour organized by this church before, and my mother-in-law, Mari Ishitani, invited me, saying, if you are a pastor, you should see the land of Israel, where Jesus walked at least once. Then I joined the tour. From that time, I have many friends here, and I have known Pastor Seino for much longer than that. When Pastor Seino and his wife were missionaries in Indonesia, my father-in-law, Rizzo Ishitani, was in Indonesia working for JICA and invited me to join him. At that time, Pastor Seino and his wife showed me around Indonesia for 2 weeks. I began serving as an evangelist at the age of 30. And 2.5 years ago, I retired from 43 years of active service as an evangelist because evangelist means pastor, because I was given a faithful successor who was like-minded in terms of flow of faith and the attitude of evangelism. I made my final home in Tutsiura, where my wife's parents, Ishitani, lived. And I have been allowed to observe service here at Tsuchiura Megumi Church. So now I worship together. And there are all decisions I have made by myself. I have made many decisions along the way of my life. Some of them are big life-altering decisions, while others we make without being aware that they are decisions. I'm sure you are the same way. You are here now because you decided to be here. By the way, do you know how many times a day people make decisions? I read once that people make 9,000 decisions a day. Wow, I wonder if I make that many decisions in a day. I thought, but this time I checked again on internet by my phone, and I found an article saying that there is no evidence for this 9,000 times, but and I thought, I knew it. But I read further and saw that people make 35,000 decisions a day. Not 9,000. Our life is a series of choices and decisions. I'm sure you've already made many choices and decisions today. Should I wake up and get up or stay under the blanket a little longer? Or toilet first or wash your face first? Or I'm not going anywhere today, so I don't have to shave? I made such decisions, I don't shave. But no, we're not worshiping on internet today. We are going to church and observing service, so I'm going to shave properly. What should I wear for clothes? It's going to be a little cool today, so I will wear long sleeves, but I heard on TV it's going to get hotter afternoon, so I'd rather wear short sleeves. Navy blue? It's... or white? What shall we have for breakfast? Rice? Or bread and coffee or tea? No, I'll drink green tea. And what I'm saying now is still very general. You'll be thinking and choosing and deciding a lot more in detail, right? If you were to drive a car and go out, which course would you take to church? Not only that, but I also press the accelerator and brake pedals in small increments and then press again. I also move steering wheel to right and left without letting my guard down for a moment. It may not be exaggeration to say that my head is making a choice and a decision every second. Some decisions are habitual, while others are unusual. Decisions are made by individual, even if someone else invites you to do something or saying something to you or seems to force you to do something, it is still ultimately your own decision to make. This is the free will that God has given to us human beings, and not even God can violate it. So Jesus said, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to the man who betrayed the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." And regarding Judas Iscariot, who betrayed and sold out Jesus, the Lord Jesus, with tears in his heart, tells us that even though his one cross was fulfillment of prophecy, Judas himself must take responsibility for his actions. Free will and the decisions made by it are tough ones. For which each of us must take responsibility. And I have chosen and made all my own choices and decisions, and I invited to do so too. Yes, if it were not for our Almighty and one God of love, it would be so. But I was shown and acknowledged at my baptism that it was God's choice and guidance that there are many those in hearts of men, but it is the Lord's plan that comes to pass. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. I was born in rural Kagoshima. My family was not poor, but we are not so rich either. I was the youngest of seven children, and my brothers and sisters, all of whom were in college, and I had been idly thinking that I should go to college, but I also didn't want to put too much of burden on my elderly parents. Then I was invited to attend the National Defense Academy of Japan at my high school. Kagoshima is a prefecture with strong military mentality, and the fact that the National Defense Academy didn't require tuition and living expense was very appealing to me. That gave me strength to study in high school, and I studied hard. By the first semester of my senior year of high school, I was planning to go to National Defense Academy because National Defense Academy students as treated as public servant. But that's when the second semester started. For some reason, I couldn't stop the urge to sing. I went to the music room to see my music teacher. In my freshman and sophomore years, I had to choose my music from the selection of art subjects, which are calligraphy, art, and music. But in my junior year, I couldn't take the art class anymore, and the music teacher was replaced by a new teacher, and I hadn't met her. I said to the first teacher, "I want to go into music now. Please teach me the piano. Since I had never played piano before, I thought to myself, it's impossible for me to practice the piano from now on. I thought she would say no. But teacher said, "Okay, if you're going to take a college music course, you'll have to do more than just piano. You'll have to do music books, vocal choir exercise, component, singing new songs also." Then I went to school at 5:30 in the morning and borrowed a key to the music room from the guard and practiced the piano. By the time my friends arrived, I went to class as normal. In the afternoon, after the female students in the music club left, I was allowed to practice until about 9 p.m. Now that I think about it, it's a wonder the teacher accepted me. I also wonder how the school allowed me to be so selfish. Open the room and borrow me the piano. So I asked my music teacher someday, "Why did you accept such reckless offer?" And she told me, "The previous teacher asked me if a student named Ando wants to pursue a career in music. Will you take him and teach him?" I met such good people. I was so lucky. My piano practice started with the most elementary pieces. But 2 months later, in November, the exam piece was announced before I even finished the C major basic piece. The assignment was number 23rd out of 30 studies of Mechanism by Czerny, and one piece from Beethoven, Mozart, and Haydn's sonata. The teacher decided to choose Haydn's sonata because it seemed to be the easiest. Teacher decided. I focused on the practice. I practiced the choir for the boys' music only in C major before the exam day in February. My teacher told me that you hadn't done enough, but you did your best. If choir exercise is also given a question from anything other than C major, you should give up on your luck this year. I was sent off after being told she must have known that the exam was held at her home university, Miyazaki University, so she knew that even choir exercise could not be given in C major. I think she was trying to minimize the impact of my failure by saying that I was unlucky, just lucky or unlucky. I took exam. I thought the academic exam was well, so-so, and music book is all I could finish, and practical skills, the new song was sung somewhat. And choir exercise is in B flat major with two flat. But I had some luck. I was put in a room with five people each, and I could hear the two people who had sung before us leaking through the impulse screen. I could tell it was completely unfamiliar song, not in C major, but when the examiner handed me the sheet music to look at, I could somehow sing it. The last day was the piano test. Anyone who plays music will know that the right and left hands move in the same way, with 3 degrees of difference. In pitch and tyranny, 30 studies, number 23. But the right hand moves a little faster than the left hand, and it doesn't match. I stopped playing. I start playing again. It's the same way, but it's not quite right. I stopped again and played third time, and the same thing happened again, but I thought I couldn't stop, so I kept on playing, and then I started to play again. I don't remember how I played Haydn Sonata anymore. I didn't play it all the way through, and halfway through I said, teacher said, okay, the only thing that remained strong was that I was stopped. It was no good. I failed, definitely. Five days later, my acceptance or rejection should be informed to me. The telegraph came. It said, passed. But I think it should be wrong. I really thought that they would contact me and say, we are sorry. We mistakenly notified as the person with your previous or later exam number. But that didn't happen. And I was finally relieved when the entrance ceremony arrived. In college, I lived in dormitory. One day, one of my senior classmates said to me, Ando, there's a welcome party for new students today, so let's go together. He invited me to join him. It was a welcome party organized by the Christian Student Association of Miyazaki University. It was there that I came into contact with Christianity for the first time. There, I received a Bible, a copy of Gideon Society, and read the Bible for the first time. I like the atmosphere there, so I continued to attend the meeting after that. However, the senior student who took me to this meeting was the only time, and he didn't go after that. So I said sometime, "Senpai, sometimes you should go with me. It's a meeting that my senior took me to, but he never went, no matter how many times I asked him to go." I began to read the Bible, Matthew's Gospel, and I was immediately shown my sin. Matthew chapter 5 verse 22. "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with brother or sister will be subject to judgment again. Anyone who says to the brother or sister, 'Raka,' is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." But I tell you, Matthew chapter 5 verse 39, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." These verses were shocked to me. When I was in sixth grade, I cautioned a friend and got into a fight with him. At that time, I hit him on the head with an aluminum underlayment, and he bled and was taken to the hospital. I made up my mind then that I was never going to fight with him again. Before that, he was a bit of a naughty boy, but since then, we never had a fight, and I attended all my classes without missing a day of school for my sixth year of elementary school, third year of junior high school, and third year of high school. Six years of elementary school and 3 years of junior high school and 3 years of high school. I attended all my classes. Since I was able to study, to some extent, people around me began to see me as a model boy. I prided myself on being a serious person with a strong sense of justice. That's why, in my mind, whenever someone does something wrong, I always say to myself, "Why is he doing such stupid thing?" and judging others. But I'm not so sure that I am not guilty of a crime. Every time my mother had some change, she would put it in a bamboo tube, and sometimes I would steal 5 yen. them 10 yen and buy and eat it. Moreover, when I would go to the beach with my friends in the summer, I would pick up watermelons from the field along the road. As our farm was so too far away to go to the beach with my friend, and we would split them open at beach. And we ate the watermelon on the beach. I didn't feel much guilt at that time. I was judging others while doing evil myself. What an arrogant person I was. When I started reading the Bible, I became very aware for the first time of my arrogance and sinfulness. And Jesus said, "You have heard that Bible said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 29. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." Being my age, I sometimes felt horny when I saw beautiful women. I thought to myself, "Shit, I shouldn't have read the Bible. If I hadn't read the Bible, I wouldn't have had to suffer so much and I wouldn't have felt so guilty. I thought that I would be able to do that." So, with intention of training my spirit, I imitated Zazen and joined the tea ceremony club in college. When I was at tea ceremony table, my mind was clear and free of distractions. However, when I stepped outside, I found I was back to my old self and I hadn't changed a bit. In September of my freshman year of college, I finally surrendered and went to church. Until then, even when I was invited to church by senior member of the Christian Student Association, I didn't go because I thought it would be impolite to put up my senior over there. When I started going to church, I went every week without fail. After almost a year of attending services, my pastor asked me, "Isn't it about time you were baptized?" He asked me, "Why don't you get baptized by now?" I was suddenly aware that realized that I was a sinner, and I knew from experience that my one training effort would not remove my sins. That's why Jesus took my sins on his shoulders and received judgment in my place. If I believe and accept this man as Christ my Savior, my sins will be erased from God's sight. Jesus paid for it with his life. In theory, I knew that. But I didn't feel it, or my heart wasn't fully convinced. So I asked the pastor to let me think about it for a while, and I prayed. I thought about it. It didn't take too many days for an answer to come to me. I thought to myself, there is no solution to the sins I have committed. I tried to train my mind and my actions as best I could, but I couldn't change myself. If I didn't change by being baptized, it was originary. But if I could change like the Bible says I should, how happy I would be. So I decided to take a bit of gamble and decided to get baptized. It was my 20th birthday. In the moment when I was about to be baptized and rise up in praise, the same things I've been talking about ran through my mind like a runner up. Why couldn't I just stop the urge to sing in the second semester of my senior year of high school? Why did I get acceptance letter after just 4 months of piano practice from the absolute beginning, when there was no way I was going to be accepted into the music department of my college? And why did a senior in my dormitory, who had nothing to do with Christianity, take me to the Christian Student Association's freshman welcome party? I still don't understand, but when I stood up in praise, it was at that moment that the scripture said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." "Fruit that will last," he said. "And shining light in my heart. I'm sure that you have made many decisions in your life. If you are new to this church today, even if it is because you were invited by your friends, but you have made your decision to come here and acted on it. But before you do that, I want you to remember that God has taken notice of you, chosen you in love, and He is leading you. God has not only given you life, but He wants you to bear fruit that is uniquely you. To do this, there may be times when you are in pain. My pastor was in jail, like a morning drama on TV. So, but that is when you should pray. John chapter 15, verse 16. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Then you will experience the blessedness and fulfillment of being alive. Let us pray.